Every decade, new countries unexpectedly rise while others dramatically fall. What if these patterns aren't random but predictable? While traveling monthly to different countries for Morgan Stanley, Ruchir Sharma discovered precisely that, a set of reliable indicators that consistently forecast which nations will prosper or collapse. His insights have attracted everyone from Bill Gates to Barack Obama, who requested private briefings to understand these economic patterns. Unlike academic economists who missed virtually every recent financial crisis, Sharma's practical rules have repeatedly identified nations headed for boom or bust by examining real-world signals that mark turning points in national fortunes. These patterns reveal a fundamental truth. Economic destiny follows predictable rules that transcend ideology and conventional wisdom. Population trends reliably predict economic growth, though economists often overlook them. Among 56 post-war economic miracles, countries sustaining 6% growth for a decade, three-quarters featured working-age population growth exceeding 2% annually. This demographic dividend powered China's rise, Brazil's 1960s-70s boom, and Malaysia's three-decade expansion. Today, this advantage has virtually disappeared. In the 1980s, 17 of the 20 largest emerging economies had working-age population growth above 2%. Now, only Nigeria maintains this pace. The historical record shows that among 698 decade-long periods since 1960, countries with shrinking populations averaged just 1.5% GDP growth, explaining Japan's dramatic slowdown and China's similar constraints. Nations are responding with various measures, from Singapore's baby bonuses to France's incentives for third children. Countries are also raising retirement ages, increasing women's workforce participation, and pursuing immigration. Yet these demographic realities remain inescapable constraints on growth potential. Transformative economic reforms typically emerge when the right leader meets a crisis moment. As de Gaulle noted, a great leader emerges from the encounter of will and an exceptional period in history. Economic shocks create public willingness to accept difficult changes when existing systems fail. The 1970s stagflation crisis enabled pioneering free market reformers like Thatcher, Reagan, and Deng. Initially underestimated, they capitalized on crisis-induced openness to change when traditional approaches had collapsed. Reform follows a predictable pattern. High-impact change is most likely in a leader's first term, becomes harder in the second, and rarely occurs beyond that. Leaders like Erdogan and Putin illustrate the dangers of extended rule, both starting as reformers but eventually abandoning economic discipline to consolidate power. The most effective leaders combine public charisma with private pragmatism. Deng exemplified this through his famous pragmatism. It doesn't matter whether a cat is black or white as long as it catches mice. As did Modi in his first term with focused initiatives like Make in India and digital payment systems. When analyzing billionaire wealth, what truly matters is not the total amount, but its source and whether the economy remains open to new entrepreneurs. Bad billionaires emerge from rent-seeking industries like construction, real estate, gambling, and commodities, where wealth comes from controlling limited resources. Good billionaires develop in productive sectors like technology, manufacturing, and retail, contributing more to growth without triggering public backlash. India exemplifies this distinction. Between 2010 and 2015, good billionaire wealth rose from 31% to 53% of total billionaire wealth as crony capitalism declined. Similarly, South Korean billionaire families face little controversy, partly because only 5% of their wealth derives from corruption-prone sectors. Rising inequality can curtail economic growth, as wealthy individuals save more of their income, reducing consumer spending. High inequality makes growth periods shorter and more vulnerable to hard landings, especially evident when comparing Latin America to Asia. This occurs partly because inequality triggers redistributive efforts that, if poorly designed, can undermine growth. Effective governance requires a sensible Leviathan that creates stable conditions for entrepreneurship through strategic spending and predictable rules. Brazil exemplifies an oversized state, spending 41% of GDP, 9 points above norm, while delivering poor services despite its 35% tax burden, the highest among emerging nations. Conversely, states need sufficient resources for essential functions. Mexico collects taxes equal to just 14% of GDP, hampering its ability to maintain order or suppress drug cartels. With minimal military spending, underpaid officials often collude with criminals. Pakistan, Nigeria, and Egypt fare worse, with formal authority existing as mere veneer. While many attribute Asian economic miracles to authoritarian states, China's success actually came after reducing state control. Around 1980, China began easing its grip, first allowing peasants to sell produce, then permitting village enterprises, and finally enabling private business ownership. Since then, private company output has grown 300 times, 5 times faster than state companies, reducing the state's share of GDP from 70% to 30%. Despite claims that the internet makes location irrelevant, physical goods continue to dominate global trade. The world's emerging export manufacturing hotspots since 1995 cluster predominantly in Southeast Asia and Eastern Europe, all strategically positioned near major consumer markets or established shipping lanes. Vietnam exemplifies location's importance, maintaining 5% growth through aggressive trade and investment strategies. After joining the WTO in 2007, Vietnam quintupled its share of global exports to 1%. Japanese firms increasingly prefer Vietnam over traditional hubs, attracted by its cheap currency, skilled labor, improving infrastructure, and proximity to China and major shipping routes. Nations can redraw global trade routes through political will and infrastructure development. While the economic center of gravity had shifted from China to North America by 1960, it's now rapidly moving back toward Asia. Despite America's natural advantages in port locations, China has created 6 of the world's 10 busiest ports through determined development. To maximize geographic advantage, nations must effectively integrate their backward provinces into global commercial flows. Countries with severely imbalanced urban development risk political instability and stunted growth. Hype about emerging economies consistently misses the mark. Early 20th century pundits celebrated Argentina, while 1950s attention focused on oil-rich Venezuela. Experts largely ignored Asia, except to praise resource-rich Philippines and Burma, while dismissing Taiwan and South Korea as basket cases. These predictions proved wrong. Since the 1970s, Asia caught up to the West while Latin America fell behind. Argentina stagnated, Venezuela collapsed with oil prices, and Burma and the Philippines declined under corruption. Meanwhile, the dismissed basket cases became economic powerhouses. Sharma's team analyzed 122 Time magazine covers featuring economic takes on countries, 1980 to 2010. When Time was pessimistic, economic growth improved in 55% of cases over the next 5 years. When optimistic, economies slowed in 66% of cases. The myth of mass convergence gained momentum in the 2000s, when 80% of emerging economies gained on the United States. This fueled utopian forecasts that ignored reality. In the last half century, only 13 emerging countries have successfully reached high-income status. Economic stars typically emerge from media indifference, often because fast-growing economies are usually poor nations where simple improvements yield substantial gains. Media indifference allows crisis-hit countries to reform quietly. No nation rises or falls forever. The next economic stars will likely emerge not from today's celebrated economies, but from overlooked places quietly implementing the fundamental rules of prosperity.